Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back to Fanboys and a Filthy Casual, back at you once again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
You know, it's been a hot minute since our last recording, and it's been a hot minute since the last time we did a review episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that I hate, but because I'm so excited about this movie that we're talking about, it just needed to be here. It wouldn't have felt right if we ignored it.
Absolutely. I mean, it made $1 billion. Spoilers, but as of today, it made $1 billion. It's the first, you know, Spider-Man movie to make that much money.
Are we talking about a Spider-Man movie?
Yeah, we're talking about Spider-Man.
I think, right?
Yeah.
Because I could talk about other things. Because turns out Philippine Airlines has a lot of amazing movies. I watched that rom-com movie about rom-coms with Rebel Wilson.
Oh.
It's actually pretty solid.
Oh, is it really? It looked good.
What is it called? Isn't it romantic? Or
it's
something?
It's like a meta thing, right?
Yeah, where she gets she hates rom-coms and she gets stuck in a rom-com. I actually enjoyed that movie. Although that's not the movie we're talking about.
It sounds like you'd love to review that more.
I would rather. No, I'm joking. So, you know, there's a little bit of history over here because I've at least had two episodes in this two episodes in this podcast where I've ranted and raved against Tom Holland and his version of Spider-Man. And it just so happened, as Lewis kind of pointed out, we released a couple weeks ago, not we, but Marvel released it, Spider-Man Far From Home, or as Harold likes to call it, Eurotrip. They are the worst.
Excuse me.
That's the only thing that was missing from that whole thing.
Also, like, we like to say that we know the movie came out a couple weeks ago, and this review might be, you know, obviously it's going to be spoilerific because we've given you literally almost a month to watch this thing.
A month.
And the reason almost like 3 weeks. By the time this comes out,
it'll
be 3 weeks.
Before the 4th of July, yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
And, it's been...
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't realize it was that long, but like... But as usual, the reason that this review is coming so late is because, just like the title, Far From Home... One of us was far from home.
Not just me, but yeah, you're right. I just came back from my intercontinental trip. I don't know.
So are you the intercontinental trip?
Thank you, Macho Man.
Yeah, so I just came back from the Philippines and Bali, and I have a pretty nice tan going on. Not as good as my daughter's, but, you know, still, it was a really exciting thing. But just kind of to show you how much or how dedicated I am as a fanboy, the very first day of my trip, I went and watched Spider-Man.
Wow.
I know.
Did it feel good? At least it was, like, cheaper over there?
It was cheaper, air-conditioned.
Nice.
I was myself, my mom, and my daughter were the only people in the theater. And with the $6 that I paid, because there's three of us, we got popcorn. So
doesn't it taste a little bit different?
Yeah,
it's
called MSG, I think.
No, there's like they got. Remember, Philippines got like super butter, dude. It's like, I don't know what it is.
Meant to kill you.
Where did you end up watching?
Oh, hold on. High five, Lewis. Meant to kill you.
Yes.
I like that line. Okay. We went to it's called the Uptown Mall in GBC.
Okay.
It was this high-end movie theater where right next to it was a Hello Kitty cafe, which the one cupcake that we got from the Hello Kitty cafe was more expensive than all three of
them. Wow.
Ah, man.
It's made of real kitty. Sorry. Spoilers.
I think that's kind of like, I know this is like off topic as usual, but I'd say I kind of miss watching movies in the Philippines. A, because nobody else watches movies in the Philippines or watches the movies that I want to watch when I'm in the Philippines.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they do the whole international releases are like a week ahead of
right,
you.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember watching Iron Man before it came out, Iron Man 2 before it came out, and then like The Conjuring before it came out in America. So
wow. I love those movies in a row. And then Iron Man 2,
Conjuring.
And then R.I.P.D.
Nice. Remember that? I like that movie. I actually
remember that was a thing.
You're just a Ryan Reynolds fanboy, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, I actually watched that in the Philippines matinee, so that meant it was $1.50.
So. Wow, you paid that extra 50 cents, dude. Shout out to Ryan Reynolds. Hope you enjoy that extra 50 cents.
Hey, shout out to Candy Crush. Oh, no, wait, what's the name of that? No, he has his own game that I was playing for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the teddy bear thing?
Yeah, I forget what it is. Teddy.
Is that what it's called?
I heard something else. So let's go straight to our review. Of course, as usual, spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't watched a month-long movie, that's your bad.
That's on you. I think by the time this comes out, it'll be on like Blu-ray and everything. So, you know, get on it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as usual, my favorite part of every single one of these reviews, you know what's coming.
Oh, God.
Lewis's
News Views.
You messed it up. He said, Lewis's Views is this.
No, Lewis is coming.
Oh.
Yikes. Okay. Go ahead, Lewis.
All right, here we go. News Views. This is where I give you a quick synopsis of the movie that we are going to review. So for this one, it's Spider-Man Far From Home. So we start off with the events. It's actually a really quick recap of what's happened since the events of Endgame. We find out that basically everybody, you know, it's a little bit of a muddled beginning because it explains that, yes, there was a 5-year skip. And to explain why everybody still looks the same from the Spider-Man cast as it did in Homecoming, all of them magically, of course, got snapped. So it's convenient that MJ...
How convenient.
I know. How
convenient. Well, if it's 50%.
It's the 50 that's finished. Yes. So, Mary Jane or MJ got snapped. Ned got snapped. All of our cast.
Did Ned really get snapped? Because he looked like he aged.
Looked like he ate 5 years. He's just kidding. So he
blipped everything in his mouth.
Jeez. So that explains how everybody... For the school, you know, it shows that a bunch of kids aged naturally, and then the ones who got blipped back, I think that's what they're calling it at the time, or now, is that everybody stayed the same age. So that kind of gives a weird little hand wave to that big question, because I know at the end of Endgame, everybody's wondering, is like, so everybody got blipped back is what, 5 years older? Say it stayed the same, whatnot? Looks like that's the case. After the events of Endgame, Spider-Man or Peter Parker decides he wants to go on vacation. He goes on a field trip with his academic decathlon team. And as the title implies, they go to Europe. Over in Europe, we find out that there is
How does the title imply that
he's far from home? I know, he should have gone to Thailand. You know, not everybody can go to Bali, all right?
True.
It is called Eurotrip.
You know?
It is Indonesia. You know?
Thailand. Way cheaper for them. Well, whatever, dude. It's all the same. Rice is rice. So, okay. So the whole class goes to...
We just besmirched all the rice-eating countries.
I'm sorry. All of our rice-eating listeners. So the class goes...
Do we have any non-rice-eating listeners?
I don't know. Let us know in the comments.
If you listen to this and you don't eat rice... Let us know.
It's such a random thing.
We'd like to know how.
What is your substitute?
I know.
What do you do with your life?
What is your carb prevent?
Because my doctor is telling me to cut that out. I don't know how to do it. Where were we? Oh, anyway, so the class goes to Europe, and we are, you know, Nick Fury catches up with Peter Parker, telling him that there is a new bad guy, or I'm sorry, a new cataclysm coming around, and that there's a new hero named Mysterio who is here to help with the loss of the Iron Man and most of the Avengers and the Guardians going back to where they belong or where they went off to at the end of Endgame. They needed, or at least Nick Fury implied that he needed the help of Spider-Man and Mysterio to double team these, what do you call them? I think they're Elementals. Excuse me. So there's a lot of shenanigans. We basically find out what a lot of us comic book fans already kind of knew about Mysterio. Comic Bex, you know,
We weren't going to say anything. You're covered by
sound. Graphic novels. Just
look. By the way, Lewis also came from the Philippines.
But I've been here. I've been back longer than you. This accent should go away already. 10 years ago. So we comic book readers already knew that Mysterio is indeed a bad guy. The reason for his facade or for his fake out is basically to try to get... we find out that Tony Stark, at his death, gifted Peter Parker access to one of the greatest freaking automated weapon systems on Earth. Why you'd give that to a 16-year-old when you're the richest, most powerful person, I don't know. We'll get to that when we get to the reviews. So Mysterio tricks him into getting this access to the system. Bingo bango, they get into a big fight. And, thankfully, Peter Parker wins out, goes through the illusions, and wins the day. However, one of the best parts of the movie, it has to be the big post-credit scene where we find out Mysterio's last action before dying is he outs Peter Parker in front of everybody in Times Square. He basically doctored some footage, and he outs that Peter Parker is indeed Spider-Man, and we get... that's two Spider-Man movies.
Not only is he Spider-Man, but he was to blame.
Oh, right. Mysterio frames him for all the damage done in Europe, and he is who he is. And two Spider-Man movies in a row, we end with a, bleep. And that's it. So that's Lou's views.
Burr. So let's start with whether or not we liked it. And because everybody is waiting for my opinion, I think I have to go last. So let's go Lewis, let's go Harold, and then I'll tell you what I think afterwards.
Okay. I'm going to go with it was okay. I did not enjoy it as much as I wanted to. I don't know why. I think, unfortunately, Dennis has poisoned the well. Because I'm watching it going like, dang it, he's right. Where is the challenge? Where is the angst? Harumph. Like, this is just a Tony Stark story with, Spider-Man as a peripheral. And we are just suffering through, Tony Stark's, basically hubris. So I liked it. It was okay. I'm sorry. I liked the action. Jake Gyllenhaal is amazing as Mysterio. Hands down, one of the better portrayed bad guys. Because you believed him in the beginning that he was on the side of the angels, that he was going to be the new superhero that was, hypothetically could replace Iron Man. But, at the end, I was okay with it just because I felt like there was a lot of plots and themes that were kind of either left hanging or that were introduced that kind of like, this doesn't feel like a Spider-Man movie. So I was okay with it. Yeah.
I kind of liked it. It was... maybe because I blocked Dennis out of my mind. Or maybe because I watched it in a giant IMAX screen with IMAX surround sound and whatnot, so I got the full effect of the whole movie. This is not so much into Dennis's point here, but I found it a lot more enjoyable than Homecoming. The actual villain, while not super strong, a lot stronger than anything that had been produced for a lot of the solo films. Probably since, I want to say, Black Panther. It was the last time where there was an actual compelling supervillain. And it was more, and then this is going to sound weird, but it was more of this time. Mm-hmm. In terms of original Mysterio being a stuntman using stunt techniques to create illusions. Whereas this time, you have Ralphie from Christmas Story creating
Oh my God, that was him? That's him.
But
holy, okay.
He's the main other guy. But you have him being able to create illusions and then actually using the drones as actual...
Yeah.
Deadly arsenals.
Yeah, where, an extension of the illusion.
Yeah, basically. Whereas so much where the before everything is revealed, you're kind of saying, yeah, this is kind of weak because there is no real damage that's being dealt because it's kind of like an illusion. So that's, that at least for me, that's what I was thinking in my head until they actually drop the illusion and they're literally like, okay, we're going to use these drones to straight out just try to murder Spider-Man. And, what I found nice about it was as much as I was talking smack about it, it's literally just National Lampoon's Spider-Man Vacation or Euro Spider. sometimes you just got to do kind of things like that. And the whole, And the big thing about me going into it was the burden of Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's like a big thing that obviously Dennis is, you know, saying that's one of the weakest things about the whole Spider-Man series. And I felt it was super heavy-handed right at the beginning with, like, you're doing everything for Iron Man. Remember, you're nothing without Iron Man. And the only way that you're ever going to be able to be some kind of superhero is if you supersede the idea of being an Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt that, you know, obviously the Spider-Man character himself is bigger than Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Iron Man is the face of the MCU, whereas in Spider-Man is the face of Marvel Comics, which is supposed to be the bigger property.
Yeah.
But, you know, things change and the popularity supersedes whatnot. And so you have it where Iron Man has become the main character. And so that was my biggest problem with the beginning was him trying to be like Iron Man like he was in the original, like in Homecoming. And then quickly where it just goes away and it's like, okay, now you're just Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of enjoyed that part.
I wanted to like this movie, to be honest with you. Especially after all my ranting and raving. I was reading, one of the few times I actually read reviews, maybe it's because it was like 2.5 weeks after everything came out. I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to watch it. So I started kind of reading and there were a lot of, you know, positive reviews about it. And I have to tell you, I liked it better than I thought I would. But the same complaints that I had, and you know, regarding the issues that I had with Peter Parker, with you know, the fact that he was gifted with everything, that was still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I agree that in the end they were trying to come up, you know, the whole Peter Tingle thing. that was, you know, in a way, at least the way I saw it was him finally depending on his own strength,
yeah,
his mm-hmm. own skill, instead of what came before, and that's how he was able to achieve it. You know, the only thing that made that moment disappear was that right before that moment of self-discovery of I'm Spider-Man and this through my power I'm going to succeed, how the hell did he get his suit again?
Tony the Stark, Iron Man thing, yeah.
You know, design every single thing. So again, it was like,
see the yeah,
you know, that's for me is like, if you are gonna go into I'm Spider-Man, I wish they were able to kind of divest himself from Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it would have been cool. And that's what I was hoping. That's why I was really hopeful. And I didn't mind the whole, you know, the whole angst about Tony Stark, because I thought that's what the whole idea was going to be, was that at a certain point, he's going to realize, you know what, I can never be Tony Stark. I am only Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's even that part where he talks to Nick Fury. And Nick Fury kind of talks, he kind of tells Nick Fury, you know, he just wants to be back in his neighborhood and not, you know, in space and everything. And the moment he said that, I was like, there it is. That's what this whole thing is going to be about. And again, that was the one thing that kind of bugged me. It was that, yes, you discovered part of yourself, but yet you still did not do this on your own. Still, even afterwards, you still have this amazing technology that you're able to design every single part of your... I mean, hell, the new blasters, the new web shooters he has... You know, it's, yes, you designed it, but guess what? That's still Stark Tech that created it.
Yeah.
You know, but the one thing I actually quite enjoyed was the end credits. The end credits was the first time I was like, you know what? This is Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
The angst that he all of a sudden feels of crap.
Yeah.
People know who I am. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Finally, there's something that I can relate to. There's something that I can actually focus on. And I think at the end, even though I was not a huge fan, it wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. I like the action, and all those things. But that was the one thing that was hopeful to me. I was like, no, there's a possibility. The one thing I actually liked that it was, if you take away him, and again, it all goes back to the whole idea of friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. If you take away all the cataclysmic things, when it was just him and MJ, even though it was kind of corny. Yes, it's supposed to be 16-year-olds. Even though it was kind of corny, that's who he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Bumbling, you know, awkward. He doesn't know. And for once, I got to tell you, Tom Holland was actually able to express that. And yeah. Even though he's 24 years old, you know.
And Zendaya is like 30.
She is?
No, she's like 22. Okay.
So. But they pulled it off, you know. And I thought that there was good chemistry. So did I not like it? I think it's slightly better than Homecoming, mm-hmm. But the same issues, the same gripes that I have still exist, unfortunately.
Okay, well, you know, before it sounds like I'm pooing on it, I mean, Harold kind of alluded to it already, so let's talk about the stuff that we like. So for me, I'll follow your lead, Dennis. I'll go backwards. First off, the fact that they got J.K. Simmons back to play J. Jonah Jameson. I'm kind of upset at this because I saw it on a Saturday matinee showing. I was the only one with his hands in the air like, "Woo! Yeah!" I'm looking around like, nobody else. Dang it. Y'all are babies in here. Because even my little guy was like, who's that again? It's like, he was Jonah in the first movies, man. But I thought it was a great little coup or cameo that they pulled off. So I love that as a fanboy. The fight.
Real quick, by the way, just on that note. In my movie theater, I was the only one doing, yes!
Because there's three of you.
There's only three of us here.
My mom and your daughter.
Most likely fell asleep, and my daughter has no idea who that was.
Who's the bald guy?
Okay, quick. And as long as we're on this subject, sure. I know you should like it. Does that mean... Is he the same J. Jonah Jameson?
I don't know. That's a great... I know.
Well, that's what it seems like. It's a new version of it. Just because instead of a Daily Bugle...
He's
a
newspaper.
Jones, yeah. He's not like Alex Jones.
He's
right?
An InfoWars.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a more modern take of who he is, and you know the sensational journalism that he's supposed to be. But you're right, I love the fact that he was there, and I have to admit to you, it took me half a second. When he came out, I was like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, this is so when I originally saw him on there, the first thing that popped into my head was
multiverse.
Oh. Ooh. Not just multiverse, but also basically multiverse. Because I was gonna say a multiple Peter Parker like in the past kind of thing. Uh-huh. But it's like, yeah, he's you know he's come from a different part just to play this part. And yeah. I was just like, oh, okay, because I'm going with I really think that from here on in they ignore the MCU. Oh, and they go back into that Sony universe that they created with the whole Venom thing and the Into the Spider-Verse thing.
Oh, okay,
and
okay,
they
okay.
go with that direction. That's what I would personally like to see in terms of like, we're done with the Iron Man thing.
Yeah.
We're done we don't need to see Happy anymore because, you know, there's that one joke, but they can cut that off obviously right away. Give Spider-Man his own universe,
mm-hmm.
or give him his own set of characters,
so we can corner of the universe.
Because you know, not everything needs to be connected. I know that it seems like that's a big deal, but can we just let things stand alone?
Yeah, for a while. I know. Yeah. I get you. But J. Jonah, a great cameo. What else did I like? I love the fight scenes. That big climactic battle on the River Thames or whatever. A great you know action piece, a lot of great sequences. I love the spider wings. I think that was like a little not in joke but a great reference.
Ooh. Again, what the hell?
Okay, as a comic book guy, you know this. Like, that's from the original like John Romita design of Spider-Man. He had like the little webbing wings. I didn't know it was supposed to be like a flight suit, but at the same time, I was like, cool, all right, I like that. But I mean, like you said, the drones being a practical extension of the whole, you know, SFX gimmick of Mysterio was great. You know, him punching the drones, and then the big climactic thing where. I think it's part of what irks me too. Is like, just call it what it is. Like, I know the first movie they're joking around, like not saying with great power comes great responsibility, because whatever. They can't just call it a spider sense. I'm like, he used his spider sense to navigate through the freaking hallway and beat those drones and get to Mysterio. I was like, nope. Peter Tingle's like,
ugh. I think that's
it's
the whole.
Killing me.
It's the whole Avengers Assemble thing.
I get. Okay. Oh god, they're gonna wait till the fifth movie.
Earn it. Earn him saying it. It's better since it's Sonic. No.
You're going to wait till the fourth movie to
earn him actually having the ability to beat somebody with a freaking Tony Stark's tech.
It's true.
Okay. We're going back to the stuff that we don't
like. So, yeah, things we like. Things we like.
So I love Ned. Ned's always solid. As, yes. As comic relief and mm-hmm. that whole... a relationship right off from the airplane thing was probably the funniest thing yeah, of the movie. And, you know, her, like the Green Goblin realizing who Peter Parker was organically.
Oh, in the first movie.
In the first original Spider-Man. And having MJ figure out her own way, kind of, sort of, like stumbling into it, this version. It's kind of a fun callback, I guess.
Yeah, I like that too. To echo what Dennis and you have been saying, like, I think Zendaya and Holland had great chemistry. I think that's the one thing that they could definitely build on. It's kind of rare, in a sense, because, I mean, not since... sorry, I'm going to say since... I can't remember her name. Peggy, basically, the lady who... The woman, the actress who played Peggy... had great chemistry with Chris Evans. Not since then, because I mean, nothing against Jane Foster or I can't remember her name now. And Chris Hemsworth, they didn't quite have that good chemistry. Oh. And a lot of, even like Ant-Man and Wasp, like they're supposed to like each other, but the chemistry's not there. But Zendaya and Holland, it looks like they really like each other, or at least they like spend time with each other. So, you know, that as a viewer, that helps definitely, you know, kind of root them on, if that makes any sense.
I think you kind of mentioned it already, but I thought Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio.
Oh yeah,
yes, he's fantastic.
Really good. Like I knew it was coming. Everybody knew it was coming.
Except for your daughter, because
for my daughter, and my mom,
and your mom.
What?
Two thirds of that theater.
He's a bad guy.
Two thirds of that theater.
No, but I. In a way, I was kind of hoping that it wasn't true. Like
I know, you're right.
I thought it was like, okay, there's the twist.
Yes.
Everybody thought he was going to be the bad guy, but it turns out that he's the good guy.
Yeah, we're jerks for thinking he's the bad guy.
You know, I remember I made that article a few months ago. That's how long it's been since I wrote an article. But, like, there was a whole spoiling thing by toys. Mm-hmm. Did you see the spoiler for this toy?
No.
I was like, oh, the back of the box says... This is the character Mysterio, who has some evil machinations, and I was like, oh, okay, so, you know.
Damn it.
I mean, little kids don't read labels, but adults who collect do sometimes. Yeah. I mean,
was it a Lego set?
No, it was just a regular
action figures. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think you're Jake Gyllenhaal was a great catch. I mean, it gets a little meta when I bring that up, but I think if I'm not mistaken, he was actually one of the first or he was on a short list of people that are supposed to play Peter Parker in the first Sam Raimi series.
No, he was supposed to replace Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man.
Oh, really? Okay, okay. Because
Tobey Maguire injured himself on Seabiscuit, so he couldn't. So he hurt his back.
That is a great sentence.
I know, right? So that's why I literally just read this like a month ago, where it was like they put in that scene for Tobey Maguire saying, I'm back. Ow, my back.
Oh, when
back
he falls, yeah.
It's because he literally hurt his back in Seabiscuit, and it's like, here's the joke.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to play Spider-Man. So literally, they were like, okay, Toby's out. You know, Jake, you're in.
Okay.
And then it was like, no, Toby said he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jake, but, you know, if anything ever comes up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought he was...
15 years later, this came up.
He was probably the best part of the movie besides Ned... because he was just so entertaining.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
character-wise.
Absolutely. And I think the casting was perfect. And, I mean, you know, not to get into the nitty-gritty, but, like, the fact that whoever did his makeup or whoever, you know, shaved him or whatever, there's that one scene at the fake bar where, you know, Peter gives him the glasses that are supposed to activate Edith or whatever the...
activate?
activate the drones. Anyway, there was that scene where Peter gives him the glasses, and it's uncanny how, you know, the whole story is leading up to who's going to be the new Iron Man, who's going to be the new Tony Stark. And, like, the way that they angled it, the way that they made him up, the way that they cut his beard or whatever, he looked just like RDJ. And that's supposed to, I mean, the way that you're supposed to kind of get that emotion out of your audience, like, oh, I get it. If I was a layperson or, if I didn't know the comics, like... yeah, he'd be perfect for a new Iron Man. Like, you know, if he's as smart as he says, and he's from his tragic past with his Earth getting blown up by these elementals, yeah, give him the glasses. And then, of course, plot twist literally, like, a minute later, that this has all been a ruse. So, great acting, great choice. I'm kind of sad, or maybe actually I was going to say I'm kind of sad that maybe he won't come back because, you know, again, spoilers, but they killed off his character. But his whole shtick is faking people out and lying and illusion. So who knows? Maybe Ralphie will come back as the illusion and of...
shoot his eye out?
Yeah. You know, he'll come back as the illusion of Quentin Beck, and, you know, we'll still get Jake Gyllenhaal back in, like, a small role or as a small cameo.
The other thing I really liked is the fact that, you know, I was trying to figure out how they were going to do the whole Mysterio, you know, how are the illusions going to, you know, be anything. And I really love that they put some thought into it.
Yes.
Like, oh, so 3D, you know, like 3D imaging mm-hmm. that we know exists in the MCU.
Yeah.
Let's use drones and all those things. And I was like, wow, that actually makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and he has a team. It's not just like one guy. He has a literal like team. So
And the fact that it was all people that I have to look back in the movies. Were they the same characters?
Yeah.
I know. I want to see.
So Ralphie was in Iron Man 1. He was the original. He was the guy that was helping out Stane with his first suit. And then I remember I forgot the other people that you see them in mm-hmm. the background.
Yeah, I thought that was really clever how they did that. Because, yeah, you're right. They introduced the whole 3D technology in, like, a throwaway scene in Civil War. And here comes back, you know, full circle, mm-hmm. super developed, you know, 5-6 movies later, saying that, yeah, these guys are basically jaded Tony Stark employees. Which, unfortunately, I think, if you don't mind, I'm going to segue to the part that I don't like. Again, the shadow of Tony Stark
huge.
Over this whole movie is huge. It's so, like, it's almost, like, jarring to the point, like, we get it, like his shadow is gonna overlook the MCU for forever, and I get that they introduced it just because his death was a big deal in Endgame, but at the same time I gotta admit I didn't feel like there was a closure to it. Does that make sense? Like, at the end, you know, Spider-Man's still wearing the same suit that Tony Stark made. You know, at the end there's still a team, or there's still a bunch of bad guys who Tony Stark, you know, ruined, that are still out there. So, you know, you have Mysterio and, you know, Vulture, technically, from the first movie. He's mad at the world because Tony Stark took his big contract, and, you know, there's no technology out there for the quote-unquote little guy, like, you know, like him. So, yeah, they're still out there, and they're still going to be mad that Tony Stark did them wrong. And it's like, I was really hoping that like you said, I was really, really hoping that we were going to move on from here, because, yes, Endgame was sad, but at the same time, it was like, you know, Tony Stark, RDJ had a great 10-11 year run. So,
can we go real quick back to something I actually did? I liked really, I thought was the best part of the movie, actually, was that illusion scene with Mysterio versus Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, the first time when he gets, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was spectacularly done.
Yeah.
Yes. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But it was like, I had imagined when Mysterio was made as a character, I was like, this, I think something along those lines would be exactly what I was picturing in my head.
Okay,
a battle with him would be. And I think they surpassed it in terms of that. In, like, using actual illusions, you know, like just smoke and everything. You know, it, like, I had just watched John Wick 3 right before I'd watched Spider-Man. And I was like, oh, you know that one scene where there's, like, glass and everything? Did you watch John Wick?
I haven't seen it, but that's all right. So That's my fault. It's like,
but I was thinking that in my head. I was like, this is a slightly better version of that in terms of using the special effects to their advantage, both in the movie and both visually for us as spectators. And I like that whole scene, I was blown away just because... you guys know I play a lot of Arkham City, or like a lot of the Arkham video games. That reminded me of the Scarecrow sequences.
Oh, the best, yeah, the best. Because
that was the best part of the Arkham series, was, you know, Scarecrow not explicitly learning everything about Batman, but letting Batman believe that he does. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's the whole, like, suspension of belief, or like the whole putting your beliefs into reality and thinking that's exactly what's happening when it's all just an illusion.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I love the fact that for that big climactic fight, that Peter Parker's butt got whooped, like, they pulled the rug underneath us too as the viewers, because I remember I was watching it again, because of course somebody uploaded the fight scene already, but there's a scene where Quentin Beck is talking him down, and then he gets shot by Nick Fury, and then Peter Parker thinks, oh, I'm safe, thank you, Nick. sure, I'll tell you everything you need to know. Then, whoop, just kidding.
Yes.
It was all an illusion. I'm like, that's great. That's that played with both Peter and the audience. So it's like, yeah, you're right. Totally, definitely a memorable scene and totally like graphic to the point where zombie Iron Man.
Dude. Like, scared the crap out of me. That was so good.
I feel bad. My 10-year-old like grabbed me by the wrist. I'm like, oh, okay.
That was a great Marvel Zombies image, though.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
I was like, oh. I was like, that looked exactly like the covers of one of the novels.
Yes, yeah, oh, absolutely. Okay. I agree.
My daughter jumped into my arms when that popped out. I was like, oh, crap.
Sorry, baby. I didn't know.
I thought it was Spider-Man Homecoming. Far from home. Anything else? Like, the one thing I kind of want to talk about, and I guess it's the thing I don't like, is the fact that Tony Stark, you mentioned it, the fact that Tony Stark would give the 16-year-old, am I the only one that did not see, like, the way Happy was talking to Peter, it was almost as if Tony thought that Peter Parker was his like son.
Yeah, I think that's the theme that they've been going with, is that Peter doesn't have a dad.
Yeah, but where did that come from?
That's the thing, is that's still the problem.
Yeah, like, and which comes to the point where it's unbelievable for me that, I mean, of all the things that we were talking about, Mysterio and multiverses, this is the most unbelievable thing for me. that, you know, you love this kid, you know, and then, oh, here you go, the most powerful weapon in the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, that could kill, and the fact that you were almost able to kill that one Asian dude. You know, with just wow. Like accidental.
It would have been so. I mean,
yeah. I bet you that's the origin story of Shang-Chi.
He's that guy.
I know exactly.
He's like, I saw Peter almost getting something.
So I learned kung fu. Mystic kung fu.
I thought he was taking advantage of the European friendliness.
And so I was and again, talking about the things I don't like, was the fact that Peter Parker gets away with everything again. Where the dude, like, if you think about it, was the dude a bad guy? Like, the Asian guy. The Asian
guy. No, he was just a normal
dude. He was a normal guy who liked MJ. Who all of a sudden sees that there's competition, and the competition all is
kind of weird.
Doing something
no, he's
illegal.
Like, outright just being bad. Like, the whole opera scene, it was so. They didn't even try it. It's like, oh, yeah, he's going back. Like, if I was the Asian dude, I'd be like, what's up, you know?
We were the Asian dudes. We were like, does nobody see what's going on here?
He's saying we all got friends in the plane.
We all got our MJs. Damn Peter.
But because it's Peter Parker, like, oh, now you're the one. No, now
total Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, like, he's the guy that's being blamed as if he's the bad guy. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, at the end when they're like, he literally, be cool, guy. He's like, he was cool. Leave him alone. Oh man. Anyway, so where were we on this?
Things that we don't. Things we don't. Because I can go on.
No, please go ahead. I think I'm.
So no. The one of the other things that really bugged me, and I need to go back to it, was the fact that he freaking made a suit using Tony Stark's technology. I just want to point that out again because that's just.
See. Okay. No, I agree with you on this, and the thing that made me kind of cringe on people defending that scene was like, oh, it's an homage to the original Iron Man. And then in my head, and I know we always do these comparisons where we literally just did a comparison of the original Spider-Man trilogy to this, where it's like, let Peter do things organically, where it's like, you don't need a supersonic jet that just happens to be able to have the capabilities to create a new suit. Give him his old suit. Give him, you know, an original suit where, like, you know, there is no fancy gadgets and it's just, you know, all up to him and everything. And no, I think most people would be fine.
It's
with
funny
it.
Is I would have preferred the original Iron Man suit, you know,
because it had less capabilities. Yeah. Honestly.
Like if Happy just said, "Oh, you know, here's the original version," and yeah. I would like, finally,
here's Mark II. You know exactly.
Just gotta recolor it. It's not as tight.
It'll be a little loose because he's like half of RDJ. Yeah. RDJ's already a small guy. But,
no, but you know, according to Marvel things, it would be able to adjust to him automatically. Because, you know,
boo.
Like when Pepper fell out of the thing.
It's supposed to dry himself off.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, yeah. Is that the suit, or am I thinking about Marty McFly?
Both. Remember in Homecoming, he did have that.
Oh, okay.
And yes, Marty McFly did have that.
Part of me too, like, okay, so, you know, the whole title of the movie is Far From Home. The part of me at the end too kind of had to ask the question, like, do they have to go to Europe? Like, it almost felt like an Adam Sandler thing. I'm like, are they just, like, are the actors really on vacation and just like, yeah, we're going to film over here. Just so we can see Paris and France. Wow. Paris and Prague and all that stuff. But it was like, you could have been like, you know, we're going to go to Texas or something like that. I don't know. There's a science fair in California, so let's go check that out. But, you know, like I said, I guess the exotic locale had to show a change of pace. And, yeah, maybe hopefully by the third movie, they'll turn him into friendly neighborhood Spider-Man instead of international global spy.
I think the storyline that they kind of hinted at and that they should really go with was Peter doesn't need the Avengers. The Avengers don't need Peter. Let Peter do his own thing.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, you know, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, but just let that neighborhood just be New York.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, kind of like, you know, how he is in the comic books where, yeah, he's only in, for the most part, in, you know, in Brooklyn and everything, but, you know, he's not swinging around the small buildings in Brooklyn. He's swinging around in like Manhattan and that kind of thing. So.
And that's, I think that's one of the biggest flaws for me is that I was hoping and we mentioned this, I was hoping it was going to go back to the original where, you know, even if you go back to the original Tony Stark, Tony's the Iron Man 1, the conflict was not global,
right?
You know, it was just him versus, you know, and versus Stain, whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, we talked about how there's movies like Ant-Man where mm-hmm. the results of everything, you know, it was small,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
stakes don't have to be super high,
right?
You know? And I think that's what maybe it's because it was supposed to be the end of Phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
We felt that there needed to be something huge, so here it is. There's this huge big hullabaloo again.
Yeah,
and I think that hurt the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it a bad movie? No, I don't think so. But I think it was a missed opportunity,
mm-hmm.
considering that it was such an anticipated movie.
Yeah,
like I wish that they were able to actually finish it off because in this thing, it's just not. It wasn't even a continuation of the movie. It was just a side note, you know, of Tony Stark's history. That, you know, guess what? Tony Stark made another mistake.
Yeah, in a long line of it. But,
quick question for you guys. The post credit scene.
Oh, yeah.
About that. What do you think?
Interesting. So, for those who haven't seen it or need a reminder after a month-long hiatus. So, it turns out Nick Fury and Maria Hill, who were, you know, helping Peter and Mysterio the whole time, are Skrulls. So, shape-shifting aliens the whole time. And then they give a call to actual Nick Fury. I'm doing air quotes. Actual Nick Fury, who is apparently in space. So, crazy. Yeah, go for it.
Well, first and foremost, I love the fact that it made sense.
Yes, thank you. You're right. Absolutely.
Because at a certain point, even I was like, does Nick Fury not understand?
Yeah. Why are you so dumb, Nick?
I know. To the point where when Mysterio's hand was finally being shown,
mm-hmm.
and Mysterio was trying to come up with like another reason why things are happening. Even Nick was like, "Come on, at that point, even Nick was like, come on, that's just stupid, right there."
Yeah, yeah.
Like it finally made sense. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not Nick. It's not Maria. It's somebody else. It makes perfect sense.
Because if you think of it, I mean, again, like even during the movie, that thing is what kind of irked me. Is like Nick. A lot of the push of the movie happens because Nick lets Quentin Beck or Mysterio in on the whole thing, gives him access to all of these, to Spider-Man, to the technology. But then, yeah, it kind of wraps it up. Then it's like, oh, of course, because he's not that there's anything wrong with his general from the Skrulls, but he's no Nick Fury. So, yeah, thankfully that wrapped up that whole thing. I guess what intrigues me is where they're going to go with this. Like, I've heard lots of things. If you're a comic book fan, one of the possible places that it go is, besides S.H.I.E.L.D., which is supposed to protect Earth, there is a spinoff group called S.W.O.R.D. I don't know what the acronym stands for, but it's basically like the spacefaring, you know, secret agents of Earth.
It's basically preventing any extraterrestrial threat to Earth.
Right. So, yeah, part of me thinks, okay, maybe this will be like the spinoff and it'll be like Agents of S.W.O.R.D. or something like that, but you know, I don't know.
Disney Plus
coming this fall. Disney Plus, subscribe now, suckers.
I am hoping that it's going to be at least for me the most obvious and the one I want is going to be their version of Secret Wars.
Oh, okay.
You know, like you already have the Skrulls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you already have the fact that the Skrulls are now involved in human affairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so why can't there be a couple of those Skrulls that we thought were good guys, you know,
actually be bad guys?
Actually, bad guys.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a cool thing. But considering the slate of Phase 4, we don't know where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it's
going to go. Fantastic Four movie.
It has to be. Like, I think that has to be the most important thing. Which I think we stopped talking about that, and maybe we talk about next episode.
Yeah.
Like all the things that are coming up. Anything else that we missed here? You think? Any last points that you want to make?
No, I think that's it. I think my last point was I had in my head was that you brought up that maybe that now that Peter's out. Or Peter's been outed that he's become the neighborhood Spider-Man. But, you know, referring back to the comic books, when he was outed, or when Peter Parker was outed, didn't him and Aunt May have to move in to Avengers Tower? So there goes that. Or hypothetically, there's that out of like, well, we got to protect our own, so maybe he'll move in with Happy and Pepper. So I was like, oh, so there goes that idea of maybe becoming a neighborhood Spider-Man and still being ingrained into Avengers lore.
Or they could do the thing which I would find more entertaining would be like a chase movie.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Where,
you know,
I haven't done that.
Where Peter is, you know...
Mad Max? I'm just kidding. Yes,
Peter. where Peter is the prey and like this... I think this is where the Sinister Six comes up. And, you know...
Oh. Are you talking about Kraven?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I read that somewhere.
Because remember, because they introduced Scorpion in Homecoming,
right?
With no payoff for now.
Yeah.
Vulture is still alive,
right?
And those who are plotting now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did read the whole thing where instead of having Mysterio, they would have put Kraven. Would have been great. But now you have literally a storyline set up where everybody knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Someone puts a bounty on him. I don't know, some kind of like kingpin.
Somebody
or something.
Somebody else that got jaded by Tony Stark.
Huh?
A third guy.
Every person.
So, everybody pissed.
There's like Cap comes in.
I mean, Justin Hammer. You know.
So. Oh, you're right. Oh yeah, because he's still alive, right?
And I heard that's why. But that's another story for another life. But
it's the reporter from Iron Man 1.
Leslie Bibb.
Yeah. This is for sleeping with me and leaving me, Tony Stark. I will kill your surrogate son.
This is what happened after I married Ricky Bobby. Sorry, same actress. Take that, America.
I guess if you guys don't mind me asking, how do we rank this amongst the Spider-Man movies? So far we have six now, right?
Yeah,
six. So the three Sam Raimis, the two Hollins, and then Into the Multiverse. I think I will throw that in there too.
Meaning excluding the other two?
What other two? Oh my gosh, you're right! My bad, Andrew Garfield. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I hate Mondays.
My bad, Andrew Garfield. So there's eight. My bad.
I mean, I think I can see where Lewis ranks the Garfield.
Spoilers, not so high.
He would rather have Spider-Man 3 again.
I'd rather Garfield. Add Civil War. Technically, he was in there. Where do you think this ranks? I mean, there's eight, so maybe give like is it top three? Is it top five?
Probably top in the top half.
Okay, right.
Mainly because, like I said, my professed love for Spider-Man 2,
mm-hmm.
and then into the Spider-Verse is probably the second, maybe Spider-Man 1, and then I'd put it ahead of Homecoming.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely better than Homecoming. I would say better than the Garfields. And you know me, I love me my Garfield.
I love me lasagna. I love me my
Garfield. It's no Odie, but you know.
You know,
he hates Tom Holland like he hates normal. Send Tom Holland to Abu Dhabi. That's right. Garfield talk. For the podcast room where you go for Garfield talk.
Next up, the Animal Farm thing that they had after Garfield Hour.
U.S. Acres.
There you go. That's what it was.
It's an Animal Farm.
It's basically what it was. We're going off topic. I'm sorry. So I'd have to agree. This is definitely top half. Definitely Spider-Man 2 still top for me. Multiverse I watched over the week. It's on Netflix. I watched it again.
It was in Philippine Airlines also, by the way.
did it have to basically go? I'm just thinking, you know what you had on Philippine Airlines was Netflix.
So there you go. That's why you paid.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Netflix and HBO Go.
So yeah, definitely top half of the out of those eight.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. As usual, we hope you enjoyed our episode. You know, if you have any ideas for other episodes, because, you know, we're running out of things to talk about, more reviews.
Yeah, next episode, a review.
Yeah, please make sure to talk to us. Reach out to us. The best way to reach out to us is through touch. But if you cannot be around us and you cannot touch us, the best way to do it is through the interwebs. As usual, check out twofanboys1casual.com for all of our old episodes and all of our old articles.
Yes.
Literally old articles.
Old articles.
On Facebook, twofanboys and a filthy casual spelled out. Every time the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Any fun news coming out, we'll post there too. Trailers, pictures, all that good stuff, we'll be posting there. And thank you everybody who's been actively commenting and keeping the community alive on there. Thank you.
Don't forget to press the like button.
Yes.
And the share button.
Yeah. Don't just do a smiley face.
Yeah. We don't need that kind of like interaction. Yeah. Guys.
Share it, man. Share. It's like two buttons to the right.
And then you can also find us on both Instagram and Twitter at @twofanboys1casual.
Well, that's it for us today. Hope you enjoyed our episode today. Tune in next time for more. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Seriously, though.
J.K. Rowling is...